say to others, taste and see how good the Lord is. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what draws people to Christ. Seeing transformed lives by the grace of God through the life of Jesus Christ within that life. When we're thirsting for God, sometimes we need to thirst for Him because we're in a spirit of dryness, a spirit of drifting away from Him, a spirit where maybe we've been drawn away. I said, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your guidance by your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we get into your word, Lord, this psalm, the Psalm of David, that your Spirit guided him in experiencing, joyfully experiencing your great faithfulness and the quenching of that soul thirst, that thirst of his heart, the thirst of his spirit for you. Lord, may we also daily experience that quenching of our thirst, Lord, the feeding of our souls, we pray. And that, Lord, as you fill us with your grace and the life of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, it would just overflow and splash into the lives of our loved ones, our friends, and people we come in contact with. Lord, because you are so great. You are so amazing. So, Lord, may you be pleased, may you be glorified. As this portion of your word has its effectual work in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you can see, at the beginning, just to kind of get things in a proper orientation, when we think about thirsting for God, when we think about the dryness of times that we do have spiritually, and we've all been there, we've all had those times of dryness, but we want to also recognize there's a time where a soul is empty, as opposed to when a soul is dry. And we have a paragraph here. Would you permit me to read it, if you will, because it delineates between the two. The great difference between the empty soul, and you and I meet people who have empty souls every day of our lives. Some of our loved ones, some of our friends, some of our neighbors, some of our people that we work with. The great difference between the empty soul and the thirsting soul is that the one has never experienced the rivers of living water. And that's the empty soul. Has never experienced the life-giving grace of Jesus Christ. That work of salvation where they are filled overflowing with the life of Jesus Christ. And they know that they know that they know they're saved. They know that they know the Lord. Okay? But an empty soul doesn't have that knowledge, that experience. While others, the dry soul, others have knows that what he or she is missing. You and I have been there. We know we've missed that overflowing work of the Holy Spirit. We've missed that joy of our salvation. We've missed that experience of the overflowing work of God's grace in our life. And we find it very hard to even think, let alone say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because we've been so far away from his banqueting table. That is not to say that the thirsting soul can lose the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's clear, what we need to make clear from the Word of God. It's not that you've lost the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not that you've lost your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perceived experience where you sense and you feel that you're away from the Lord. But the Lord is always with us. He's promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But when you and I get into those dry times, those drifting times, so times when we're drawn away from the things of God, we have that sense of feeling that, where is God? And David cried out many times in the Psalms. That sense, if you will, that perceived experience, that sense of the absence of God, when God is never absent. He's never absent. He's always with you. Sometimes we can feel that we're not with him. That was an exclamation for us. Thank you. Alright. It is a perceptive experience, a sense of distance or absence from God. This perception is ours only. It's not God's. It's ours only. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The Holy Spirit's indwelling is never lost. It's our choices and our lack of growth and our seeking satisfaction in others or other things that cause us to be spiritually distant from God and drying our souls. says that a true believer in Christ can become a dry soul when Jesus promised that whoever believes in him, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Well, let me just share with you a couple ways that we as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can become dry, spiritually dry. One of the ways, of course, is drinking at the broken cisterns of the world. The Lord speaks of this through Jeremiah, doesn't he? Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people, he's not talking about the pagans. He's not just talking about the people who know not the Lord God Jehovah. He's talking about his people. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me in the fountain of living water and have hewn out cisterns for themselves. It's their way. It's their word. It's their cistern. It's their water. But notice, it's a broken cistern that cannot hold any water. So they're turning to the wrong source, aren't they? Turning to that which is empty, that which is dry, that which has nothing to fulfill their souls. And again, God is saying, my people. This often happens, reverting back to old ways. When we revert back to our old ways and old habits and old ways of thinking and old ways of doing things, oftentimes that perspective, that action of the heart, closes us reading the Bible, closes us to prayer times, reverting back to old ways and habits, forsaking God and his ways, letting personal devotions, prayer, Bible reading and study slip for just 1 or 2 days. Then it becomes maybe a week. Then it becomes 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And lo and behold, a few months. And we've left those spiritual disciplines of grace. It's letting old habits of the flesh take hold of again in our lives. It's forsaking worship and the fellowship together with other believers. This is one of the ways, if you will, that we drink at the cisterns of the world and not at the fountain of living water. It's pursuing the mirages of this world, such as false doctrines, emotional and religious experiences, neglecting your relationships for mere religious exercise, where worship has just become a ritual, just a routine. And it lacks that spirit-given life. It lacks that sense of joy of our salvation that is expressed in our prayer life, in our songs. And when we really know that the Lord is enthroned upon the praises of his people, and we sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us through his word, or even through songs, and we know that the presence of God is in the midst of our worship and our fellowship. When we don't have that, it's just a ritual. It's just a routine. It's just doing things over and over again because we've always done them that way. It also be holding on to past grievances. That's one way we can leave the strain of living water, if you will, and go through the cisterns of the world that are broken, holding on to past grievances and bitternesses and resentment or offenses. Our offenses are the offenses of others. All of those things will grieve the Holy Spirit. It's clear in the Word of God. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. And if those are the things that we allow to be in our lives, they will grieve the Holy Spirit so we will not experience joyfully.
Disgusting.
Delightedly experience the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because these things that we're holding on to will hinder that work. And so we become spiritually dry. We become spiritually apathetic. Another way, of course, is when the sense of God's presence is missing. It is not his presence that is missing, but our perception of it. The Puritans used to call it the dark night of the soul. Take a look at Psalm 143 in your outline. I stretch out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land, Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. As there was a sense of wanting God's presence there in the psalmist's life. Back to concerning the part of the dryness that you experience. When God is testing us, sometimes we can experience that lack of His presence. When we we go through trials and we begin to face on the trials, on the testings, and on the Lord Himself, when we go to other answers for that trial instead of the Lord Himself, all of those things can get us to where we're drawing away from the Lord. And the more we draw away from the Lord, the drier we become spiritually. When He's testing us, sometimes when He's teaching us, sometimes when He's teaching us, well, how can that be? Well, think of this. The Lord taught His disciples many, many things. Things of heaven. Things about going to heaven through the grace of God. Things about the law and how the law was never meant to save a person, but to show and to demonstrate that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. He taught many things of heaven. He taught many things of God's righteousness and holiness. He taught a lot of deep doctrine. I say deep because a lot of people today in the Christian community read those things and wow, boy, that's really deep. And you know, He was teaching not college students, not seminary students. He was teaching fishermen, farmers. But there were some, when He was teaching, they left. So the Lord spoke to His immediate disciples. Are you also going to leave? Lord, You have the words of eternal life. So whom shall we go to? They got it. They were just fishermen. Sometimes when you have doctrinal teaching from God's Word, sometimes we turn it off because we don't want to hear that. We want something that's, you know, sort of like the chicken soup series. You know what I mean? Okay? Or we want only at the level of daily bread. And I'm not knocking the daily bread. The daily bread has met needs and has fed people spiritually, especially when they get into the scripture verses over there. Okay? But God wants us to get deeper in Him, deeper in this new life, deeper in God's Word, to read it and study it and apply it to our lives. And sometimes, when that begins to happen and God begins to start teaching us, oh, it's too much, it's too deep. No, it's not. God knows exactly what we need. And God knows exactly how much you and I can take and understand. Because He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us understand. Sometimes Christians, when they go through that experience, whether it's times of testing or teaching, they begin to drift. And drifting brings dryness. When we think we can do it on our own, I can do it, Lord. I'll leave You the big stuff. But I'll take care of this stuff today. Well, God wants to be involved with all the stuff. All the stuff that's in your life, in my life, in your family, in your marriage, in my family, in His church, all the stuff. So that we can praise Him, we can look for His provision, that we can look for His wisdom, that we can rejoice together in Him. God did it! And He did it through His people. Amen? Yes. When we are fatigued mentally is another way. Oftentimes we can become dry spiritually. There's your outline, number three. We are fatigued. When we're fatigued mentally, when we're fatigued emotionally, physically, or spiritually. When we get so busy in life or ministry and never take time to refill and refresh. Have you been there? Probably have. So you understand what I'm saying. That's an occasion where you may begin to experience that dryness of soul. And the Lord is saying, thirst for Me and I will fill you, I will refresh you. I will pour My living water in and through your life. And I will splash other people with that grace of that living water. But I want you to thirst. I want you to recognize that dryness is not good. But thirsting for God is. Physically, emotionally, times of stress, when we worry and fear, like Elijah. Regardless of the cause, the dry Christian soul is like the believer in Psalm 63. David says here, in your outline, in your Bible, you're open to Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. David never lost his contact with God. David never forgot or lost his sense of connection with God. You're my God. You're my Elohim. You're the one who's in control of my life, and you are in control of all of creation that you created. You're my God. Oh God, my God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. David expresses here in Psalm 63, we'll be going through them. David expresses four great truths, if you will, for refreshing and quenching your dry thirst for God. Take a look, if you will. Let's begin in verses 2 and 4. Take a look at verses 2 and 4. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. He's talking about worship. He's talking about praising God. He's talking about enjoying the fact that not only does he know God, but he knows that God knows him and they have a relationship together. He says, you're my God and I've seen you in worship. I've seen your glory. I've experienced your presence. I know your holy name. So, the first thing, remember and reflect. If you want to quench that dry thirst you have, that dry spiritual thirst that's in your heart, in your soul, maybe today, remember and reflect on the times of worshiping God. Not just the worship. Not just the routine, not the ritual. But remember those times where you experience the very presence of God and the joy of being in His presence and the joy of just simply worshiping Him and knowing that your spirit and soul are in fellowship eternally. Remember, reflect upon the times of worshiping God. Reflect upon His character. David says, I remember and I reflect upon your steadfast love. That word there is hesed, meaning grace. That covenant love that he had, so he was reflecting upon that, remembering, and his great name. So that's one of the ways of refreshing, if you will. That's one of the ways of quenching our thirst for God, by remembering and reflecting on these things of God. But there's something else. Number two, recount and rejoice in God's wondrous provisions, his help, and his protection. Verses 55 through 8. My soul will be satisfied with that and with rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David is recounting all God's grace and goodness in his life. He says, I know that you have provided for me. Just as you provided for my physical body, you've also provided for my soul and spirit within me. I have been well fed by God. And David could say, as you and I can say to others, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Yes. Beloved, these are the ways of God's truth to quench the thirst that you have for Him. Because it's focusing your heart, your mind, on Him, who He is, what He's done, and what He's doing right now. Amen? Let's go on. And number three, verses 9 through 10. Know God's justice and righteousness will prevail. Sometimes we draw away from God because we're looking at the world, we see all this corruption, all this injustice, all this unrighteousness, and we see that in the news daily. We hear it on the radio daily. And sometimes we say, oh my word, this world is going to hell in a handbag. Literally. But I don't know how you've been, but I find if I begin to focus only on that, I begin to shift my focus to God. And I begin to wonder, Lord, are you really in control? Yes, He is. Lord, do you really care? Yes, He does. Lord, are you really going to judge wickedness and evil because it's abounding right now? Yes, He will.
Lord, are you raising up righteous men and women and boys and girls right now? Yes, he is. Sometimes when we look at the sin and wickedness of the world, sometimes we often forget some of the sins in our own life. And if we really thirst for God, we also realize, Lord, quench my heart. Lord, quench my thirst for you again. Lord, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit so that the life of Jesus Christ can just fill my being. Have you prayed that? Sometimes, when our focus is on other things, we become dry. We become distant. We drift away.
David is saying here in verses 9 through 10, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth, and they shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for the generals, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him will exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. God will judge. God will judge. Psalm 73, we'll be looking at that next week. Psalms was looking at the things of the world, even amongst his own people, and he forgot. He forgot some very important things about God. But let's go back here to Psalm 63. Know that God's justice and righteousness will prevail. It will. Judgment is coming. There is a great white throne. There is hell. But right now, in these days of grace, you and I need to live by that grace. And we need to share that grace of Jesus Christ with others. Amen. Rejoice and exalt the Lord with others who know him. Verse 11. So what's the answer? Let me just give you a couple points from this psalm and other passages. Recognize the thirst within your soul is for the Lord. And God put that thirst in you, so that you could thirst for the living water, who he is, who Jesus Christ is, that living water, that you would thirst for him. You are created to thirst, desire, need, and long for him personally. Ask him to increase your thirst for him above all others and above all else. Lord, I want to thirst for you every day of my life, because I know that when I come to you, that thirst is quenched. If you have forsaken the Lord and have been going to the world's broken systems for satisfaction, God's answer is clear. Confess it. Say, Lord, I've been going the wrong way. I've been going to the wrong things to fulfill my life, to satisfy my soul. Confess it. Ask forgiveness and come back to the fountain of living water in Christ. And if you've lost the sense of his presence, always remember, he's always with you. But you've lost that sense of his presence. He is testing you, teaching you, or you are trying to live the Christian life on your own. Acknowledge his promised presence. Lord, I know you're always with me. You promise. I know you are. And you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know you're right here. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, by your Spirit, by your Word, to sense your presence with me and to rejoice in your presence and to share you with others. Acknowledge his promised presence and put your hope in him to fill you again with the joy of his presence. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Enjoy his presence for our true soul. You see, that's what a thirsty soul in Christ does. And that's what a thirsty soul is being refreshed by the living waters. That's what a thirsty soul is being quenched and refreshed. Begin to spill out into the lives of others. It splashes on your loved ones. And they say, Mom and Dad, you're different. It splashes on your friends. What's different about you? Jesus. He's the spring of living water for me. If you are fatigued mentally, emotionally, or physically, or spiritually, set time aside today to rest and spend time with the Lord, His Word, and in prayer. Pray with passages, and we've given you a number of passages that are meant by God in His Word, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to refresh our souls and to refill us again. So pray through them. Coming out of a dry experience, this is a warning. God always gives us warnings in His Word, doesn't He? But they're for our good. It's because He loves us. Coming out of a dry soul experience can be a time of great spiritual growth. It really can be. You can begin to know the Lord in greater depth and a greater breadth of His love, His grace, His work in your life, and His work in the church that you never knew before. So coming out of that dry soul experience, biblically coming out of it, can be a great spiritual experience of growth. But willfully, take a look at this, but willfully remaining in that state will produce further spiritual progression. It will. You cannot help yourself. Only Christ can help us. So if we willfully remain in that state of spiritual dryness, spiritual drifting, drawing to others, other things, that spiritual regression, loss of blessings, and the discipline of the Lord will come. I know that for sure. I know that personally. I've experienced it. Maybe you have too. Because that's a loving Father who cares for every one of His children. He really does. And when we live in a spiritual time of guidance, He wants to speak to us. He wants us to listen. He wants us to pray. From the well of the Lord. No matter what the cause, take a look, if you will, at John. John 7, verse 37-39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. He had been crucified yet, he had risen from the grave, he had been sent to the right hand of God the Father, but he did send the Holy Spirit. We see that on the day of Pentecost, there in Acts chapter 2. And since that day, since that moment, the church has been blessed with the work and the ministry and the presence of the Holy Spirit within the church, but every believer has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that you and I can experience the filling of this living water. No matter what the cause of the spiritual dryness in your soul today, the answer is always the same. Admit that you're thirsty for the living God and for the life within your soul. Come to Jesus, the only true living water that can satisfy your life forever, and He's the only one that can do it. Believe in Him and His promise to give you living water. He's promised it. He is a promise keeper also. What He's promised, He will do. Receive the soul refreshing, strengthening living water by faith through the indwelling Holy Spirit today. And the last thing, spend time with the Lord daily in prayer and meditating on His Word. I find it interesting. The last book of the Bible. What book is that? Revelation. Okay. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible. It says the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." He who thirsts, come. Great. He's talking about that living water, that refreshing life of Jesus Christ within the soul, within your soul, within my soul. That refreshing life of the Lord Jesus Christ that both transforms, makes new, gives joy and victory in His church. Just to share with you, on the tables in the back there in the lobby, if God has been speaking to you, not just today, but maybe today, and you're going through a time of spiritual dryness, and you know that you've got to thirst for the Lord and be quenched by that living water of Christ Jesus, I invite you to pick up one of these brochures. It's written by Billy Graham. It's called Thirsty. Thirsty for the Lord Christ. But maybe you also know somebody who's really going through a difficult time in their Christian walk. They're spiritually dry. They've drifted away. They need to draw back to the Lord. Would you pick one up for them, maybe?
want you to read it first before you give it to them. So let me ask you some questions about it. You have some answers, okay?
You're up there on both of the tables, so please help yourself and pick one up for yourself or for a loved one or a friend. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you're the one that can put that thirst within our soul, because you're the one that can only, through your Son, quench that thirst. Bring that refreshing and that refilling of our souls with the very life of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, it's our prayer today that every one of us here in this auditorium would continually be filled and be filled with your Holy Spirit to experience the fullness of Christ within us, the fullness of Christ within your church, Lord Jesus, that our lives would reflect and represent you in every way before our loved ones and our friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.